Bob Hilbert bought me a new Bible. I showed it last week. I will show it one more time. If you want the largest printed Bible you've ever seen, this is it. I love it. And I can now take pictures of the page. It's not very professional looking, but it's easy. And I can even, in this case, I didn't realize I had my own notes there, so I need to be careful what I write in my Bible. This is a Sunday when it's been an emotional week. My brother-in-law was in a bad accident, and this is more than a brother-in-law. He's a valuable part of our ministry, a partner in ministry. Jesse Stout and I have been as close as brothers can be for years, deep friends. He is vice president of CMO Haiti in the ministry over there. And they called a special service at the Jeremy Church in Haiti Friday night just for Jess. Isn't that cool? So the CMO Haiti was having a special service to pray for Jess, and I thought that was just special. This has been a very emotional week for lots of reasons. I was real fired up about a message on Wednesday or Thursday, and then I lost focus on the weekend just with all that's going on, but honestly, I'm not shook about that. I know that I'm to talk a few minutes from this passage, and so the Lord will give me what we need this morning. I'm not sure how close I'll stay to notes or how close I need to, but I'm not worried about that. This passage has hit me hard a number of times. I've preached on it here before. This passage in Matthew chapter 7, and it's 7:21 through 23. I had that up here if you want to write it down. It's Matthew 7:21 through 23. And I would encourage you to write down scriptures because God will speak to you and he'll speak to you about things that I missed. I believe if you're attentive this morning, you'll receive something. But if you go back and read, God will speak to you about things I missed. He'll bring things to your mind. I sent a verse to somebody this week, and I often do that. I'll say, Lord, give me a verse for whoever, and I'll send a verse. And the person later texted me and said, I appreciated the verse, but the verse before it really spoke to me. So I thought that was cool. God had them going to that section of the Bible anyway, but the particular verse that was for them isn't the one I sent. But God will speak to you in his own way and develop your walk with the Lord. Develop your walk with the Lord. You know what's tragic? Churches across America are packed with people who have never developed their walk with the Lord. If this church burned down and the Secretary of State closed down Chapel Ministries Outreach, Inc., we could meet in one of our yards and feel everything that we felt this morning. This is about a relationship. If you're dependent on church to keep you going, I'm sorry, but it ain't going to happen. Pardon my English. It ain't going to happen. This will be a supplement to your own walk with the Lord. Oh, it'll be a valuable supplement. It'll be something you'll need and depend on. Fail not to assemble yourselves together, all the more as you see the day approaching. But it's your own walk with the Lord that's the valuable thing. And churches are full of people that's almost a foreign language to. Oh, they don't miss any church social. They don't miss any church activity. When the lights are on, they're there and they're bubbly around offering to help with things, but their personal walk isn't strong. God calls us to relationship, a strong walk with him. And I am, in the next few minutes, just going to talk to you briefly about knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord. It's a subject that often brings tears to my eyes. Appreciated Heidi's presentation this morning so very much. Pam and I have had some valleys and difficulties, and you have too. I just get the chance to talk about it more, so I get more attention. Some of you have had far more, but we've had some. And in our hour of despair, and in our hour when the tears wouldn't stop, the relationship is what got us through. It wasn't the scorecard on the things we did for others or the list of good works that we could list that over the years maybe we've tried to do. We've, like you, have tried to do some. But it was the relationship. when they walked into my room and said, "You're a medical emergency. We can't type your blood. It's too contaminated." And they showed me a test tube of my blood. And Tommy, to this day, says, "I cannot believe the looks of that and the black granules in the bottom of it." And the doctor said at first he wasn't sure what those were. My white count was 137,000. But to know that you knew the Lord, that we knew the Lord. Oh, was I laying there in that bed that night when they said I wouldn't make it through the night thinking, "Oh my, I sure have been a good pastor"? No. In fact, I was thinking of a lot of things. I wish I'd have handled different, and wish I'd have done a better job with this or a better job with that. And but it was good to know the Lord, because it's not about your scorecard. It's not about whether you did everything just right, Kevin, at Square D this week. It isn't about whether you handled every situation and your facial expression was just right and you answered everything correctly. The frustrations you had in your office or at the body shop or on it goes to your workplaces. For that's your world, for we're lights to our world. Let your light so, I preached on that word S-O a few weeks ago. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's the relationship. How is your relationship? I'm going to read a few scriptures, and I'll have them up here. Hopefully you can see them. Pardon my notes on this one. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Really? Well, I thought if you got up here and sang, you went to heaven. Sang Lord, songs to the Lord. "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven." These are Jesus' words. "But he that doeth the will," "he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Ooh. Not everybody that talks the talk, but it's he who does the will of the Father. So what is his will? Stay with me. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord," this verse has always troubled me. Does this verse bother you? This verse has always troubled me. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, and in your name we've cast out devils. And in your name we've done many wonderful works. And he will say, I never knew you." That's scary. So now wait a second. If we take this at face value, Don, we can get in a state of mind where we think we're really spiritual. It says they prophesied in my name. It says they cast out devils and did wonderful works. And he said, "I will profess, I never knew you." It's in the knowing him. It's possible to be deceived. It's possible to get off track. It's possible to attend church and be going through a form. I know a lot about our new president. I followed this election closely. Not going to give my opinion on issues, so don't be nervous. But I know a lot about our new president. I feel like I know the Trumps. Yeah. Donald Trump, our president, walked in here. Oh, I recognize him immediately. The hair and all. That's Don. That's Don. Wouldn't you? Melania? Anybody recognize Melania if she came in? Oh, yeah, absolutely. We recognize Melania. What's the girl's name? Huh? Ivanka, yeah. If she walked in, thank you. Would you know her? Oh, yeah. And I even feel like I know their family a little bit. I pretty much know what he's going to say on Twitter. I do. I'm not making fun of the presidency. I'm just telling you. I'm going somewhere with this. I feel like I know Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't have a clue who I am. I know a lot about him, but I don't know him. Many will come to me and say, I can quote John 3:16. Many will come to me and say, well, I read Matthew 24 and I know all about last day's doctrine. I can tell you the seven seals. You want to hear them? I never knew you. There's more to this than you think. We can know a lot about God. And churches are packed with people that know a lot about God. And we can, if it's the old days when I grew up, you can memorize your golden text and you can have your scripture quarterly and go off to your Sunday school class like we did growing up. And we do things a little different now. And you can know all about God. And we can get so bold that we can even claim some of those verses and we can prophesy in his name, which means preach in this particular case in the Greek. And we can pray over people and we can do wonderful works. And he says, I never knew you. Whew. That verse troubles me. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will, stay with me, he that does the will of the Father. Now, John 3, pardon my pictures, they're crooked. I'll get better with it. John 3, 16 and 17, oh, this is a familiar one. We're going somewhere with this. What is the will of God? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So if we can be so far off track that we attend church our whole life and we say, oh, Lord, Lord, and we can preach in his name and we can pray over people and we can do works, but he can say, I never knew you, that's a pretty critical issue. So what is this business of knowing God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So stay with me. I'm tying these verses together. I'm going to read 6-7 verses and then I'm going to tie it all together. So hang with me through the verses. So we started out by saying that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but we got to do the will of the Father. That there'll be some will come and say, well, I did this, 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 and he'll say, I didn't know you. So we're asking the question, what is the will of the Father? All right, God so loved the world, a basic foundational verse that we all learned growing up, or many of us did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believed in him would have eternal life. Now, let's go to John 6:40. And I have the whole page on here, but I just want the bottom verse. So this is the will of him that sent me. Now remember the first verse? Not everyone will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, stay tuned in. I don't usually use this many verses back to back. Don't want to overwhelm anybody. Now John 17. And then we're going to go back and tie this together. John 17, 1 through 3. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes into heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. So, not everyone, our first verse, Walk back gently with me through these verses. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father. Okay, and we can know all about the Trumps, but we don't know them, and they don't have a clue who we are. So this is kind of a scary thing. We can know all about God. So the key issue is knowing him and doing his will. And his will is eternal life for us through John 3:16, for he loved and gave his son. And then let's read again John 17:3. This is life eternal. This is a great sequence of verses. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We'll back up. To know Jesus, to know the Father. I'm going to say this in a very appropriate way, but in the Old English, when the Bible was first translated, the Old Testament was Hebrew, of course, and the New Testament was Greek. But in the Old Testament, in the early versions of the Bible, in regard to sexual intimacy, it would use the word to know. If you remember reading some of the manuscripts, especially in the King James Version, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son. Okay? Knowing God, not about God. I feel like I know the Trumps. I even know the foods they like. You know, through the campaign, everything comes out. We have way too much information. I honestly do feel like I know them. I feel like I know them. They don't have a clue who I am. If I walked into his office, the security guards would all grab me and usher me out. They don't recognize me. They don't know me. They don't know my voice. And a majority of our American church has studied God to the point that they are extremely knowledgeable. But the intimacy, the connection, stay with me. This is heavy but simple. Heavy but simple. The life-giving intimacy is where God wants us to be. And that's the difference between those who know the Lord and know about the Lord. Adam knew his wife. When we get to know our spouse and there's appropriate intimacy with covenant, for you must have intimacy with covenant. Not to have intimacy without covenant. You know her feelings. You sense things without words being spoken. That's when you know somebody. Let me back off being so heavy for a minute and just have a little fun. Can we do that? And then I'm going to come back. Pam's shaking her head like, oh no, what is he going to say? You know their fears, their dreams, their goals, their desires. Can I tell a little story? Okay. We had 8 skunks at our house. 8 skunks. 4 of the animal lovers, and I love animals as well. Appropriately, you know, I think people can be obsessed with animals, but you can be obsessed with anything. But skunks living under your deck is not a good thing when you have 8 grandchildren. And Brian was going to come over and shoot guns with me one day, and I was going to set up our little place to practice and set his new gun up on the deck. And the minute I stepped on the deck, spray came up through the deck. This is not a good thing. Alan's kids are coming from Oklahoma and going to be playing in the yard. So let me just put it this way. There's 1 skunk left. We'll just leave it that way. There were 8. Pam has been paranoid about where this 1 skunk is. Do you think he's in my flower bed? No. No. Nope. He's got the steps to hide under. And this skunk keeps moving. He's figured out that something happened to the others. And he's wised up. And he just keeps disappearing. I'm working on the car. Mike Francois came over and we're going to work on his truck. And I go out in the morning to get the tools ready. When I walked across the steps, up comes spray between the steps and the garage. And I realize that little rascal's under the steps. And then he'll run around and go other places and you'll smell him over here and over here and over here. Okay. Pam was finally, she's got some landscape timbers she wanted to put together. And I finally had some time. She's a patient woman. And so I had my screw gun all charged, and I'm going to put these landscape timbers together for her in the backyard, and she's going to venture, because I'm back there, to work in the flower bed. And she says, do you think that that skunk is in here? She said, I can just see his little eyes looking up at me, and then I'm going to get sprayed in the face. And I said, no, I don't think he's in there. I think that we've made enough noise. He's probably around on the other side of the house or down by the barn. So I'm watching her over there, and I'm on my hands and knees putting these screws in here, and I'm about as far as from me to Kevin Smith over here. And she is pulling weeds very carefully and looking around. I'm pulling a few weeds and looking around. So I waited till she got relaxed. And then I sneaked around behind her, and I waited. And one time she looked up, and I thought, oh, she's going to see me, and she didn't. She went ahead, and right when she leaned over, I grabbed the back of her leg and went, psst. Kathy, she jumped from here to the front chair. And at first she was mad. She said, you just wait. And I was laughing so hard I couldn't stand up. And then she started laughing. Okay. That's not appropriate to tell in the middle of a story about intimacy with God, but I'm going somewhere with this. I am going somewhere with this. I knew exactly how she would react to that. And that would be fun, and I'm watching for what will happen to me. I'm sure there's a payback. There's a payback coming. There's a connection there laughing in the backyard. It was over a silly skunk, but there was a connection laughing. There's a depth of knowing each other even involved in that joke. Are you with me? There's a personal connection with God that awaits us, that surpasses anything we have here in this earth, on this earth. Let me say it again. Keep chasing it. Keep chasing the pearl of great price. It's developed over time. How do you get to know somebody, Andre? How do you get to know somebody? You say, I'm going to get to know Brian. Well, how do you get to know Brian? This is so simple, we fall over it. We think it's some deep theological thing that we can't do. How do you get to know Brian? Well, first somebody introduces you to Brian's salvation. We receive Jesus Christ. We're introduced. You can kneel here. You can kneel by your bed at home, and you can say, Lord, I confess my sins. I feel sorrow for the way I've walked against you. There's the introduction. But then as you spend time with Brian and you do some things with Brian and you begin to understand Brian, and if it's the case of a dating relationship, which is really how the Bible compares it, husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church. I speak a great mystery. I speak of Christ and his church because the bride of Christ, okay? The groom is coming back, the bride of Christ. So it is a marriage relationship. In a marriage relationship, we started dating. I was attracted to Pam and she had chased me for a long time. Just kidding. I was attracted to Pam. I found myself wanting to spend time with her. I got to know her family. I would ride back on my motorcycle late at night up 124 and come and go into work at midnight after a date, and I would think to myself, I like this girl. I like her family. A relationship develops. Don't make it harder than it is. And then a time comes, if we may use the husband and wife thing very appropriately, where there is a vow made. You with me? There's a vow made. You now take this woman whose hand you hold to be your lawful wedded wife. You solemnly promise before God and these witnesses that you'll love, honor, and cherish her, forsaking all others for her alone. You'll faithfully perform all the duties of the husband and the wife so long as you both shall live. I do. Said that a few times in my life. Please repeat these sacred vows. I, Tom, take thee, Pam, to be my wedded wife, to be my wife, to have and to hold, to have and to hold. From this day forward, from this day forward, for better, for worse, sickness and health, richer or poor, till death do us part. There comes a time where there's a vow. We got acquainted and we liked what we saw. And then it moved toward a vow. And then in the proper sequence, for there must not be intimacy without covenant. After covenant, then there is the intimacy, may I speak of very appropriately. And then the sharing of feelings to where you've been together 42 years and you know exactly how the other person will react in a given situation. You know their strengths and you know their weaknesses and you know them like you know yourself. Don't make this harder than it is. Churches have complicated this, so we don't want to do it. What is the will of God for us, Angie? What is the will of God? That we would know him. Not that we're the perfect. Am I a perfect husband? You gotta be kidding me. No. I had to apologize to the worship team this morning. I didn't think I handled something right. Are we perfect? No. But it's doing the will of the Father. And what is the will? This is eternal life. And we just read in John 3:16 that it's his will that we have eternal life. And this is eternal life, that we would know the only and true God and Jesus Christ, who you have met. Such a simple, simple, down-to-earth, simple message, but yet a basic one. And there's a sense in which it's profound. Stay with me. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I speak of a great mystery. I speak of Christ and his church. He's coming back for his bride. The only relationship that's compared to Christ and his church is husband and wife. That's why it's a sacred relationship. In intimacy comes conception. I hear this all the time. I'm just not led of the Spirit like other people. Now, some of that comes with maturity. Some of it comes with growth, okay? Some of it comes with growth. So there's patience needed there. But I just don't feel I'm led of the Spirit like other people. Seems like God directs them. He doesn't direct me. How does conception happen? It's in the knowing of God. It's in the intimate time that you set aside and everybody else is off to the internet in their early morning, but you've set aside 5 to 5:45 or 6 to 6:45. For that's your, as Vince calls it, God time. And others are off to check the latest thing on Facebook and everything that's going to clutter your mind and make you incapable of hearing the still small voice. Don't be offended. I got nothing against Facebook. I think there's some good things on Facebook. We can mention 1,000 things. I'm just picking on Facebook. But that intimate time. Oh, when there's that special time alone of time together, you know, that isn't everybody else's time. You with me? We come into an enclosed room together then to worship the Lord. Spiritual intimacy. And we block out 31 and we got a solid wall here so we can't see the traffic. And we've got a bedroom here and we're singing songs to the Lord. And I see people begin to break into worship in your own way. And it's in your own way. It needs to be that way. Daddy used to say the love of God begins to flow within us and grow. And some people, it gets right here and it runs out their mouth. Then there's other people that have a little more self-control and they just kind of hold their mouth and it comes up here and it runs out their eyes and runs down their face. But it's still the love of God. And there's other people, it kind of comes up here and goes out through here and they go, woo! Now, don't say that one person's more spiritual. Maybe the person crying is more spiritual than you are. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Be who you are. That's what I love about the congregations we had over the years. You be who you are. The love of God comes up in you and might come out your arms. It might come out your mouth. Daddy said, sometimes I just feel still in the presence of God and it runs out my eyes and the forms it drops down my face. But it's worship. It's intimacy with God. There's corporate worship and then there's private worship. But the bottom line is it's rooted in knowing him and the desire to know him. Keep chasing it. Keep chasing it. Lord, I don't need to know all the stuff. I don't need to know where every verse is found. It's now on my phone. I don't need to be a walking concordance in my head and know all about the Trumps and what they eat for breakfast and where they've been and everything that the daughters just bought and all the clothes that she... I don't need to know all that, but you can know all that and not know the person. What is the Lord's will for us? This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God. And I'm going to wrap this up. When you spend your time getting to know God, Adam knew his wife, you get to know God. And it takes time. Pam and I didn't get to know each other at this level in 2 years. It's been 42. But as you get to know him and spend time with him, conception does occur. Oh, I began with this a minute ago and got off on something else. Oh, I'm not led of the Spirit like others. It's in your intimate time with God that God begins moving on your heart. Now listen. And birthing his love within you. That's where it's at. That's the good stuff there. He begins birthing his love within you. Oh, we dated, we said some vows. We shared intimacy. We began to know each other and be together. Now, we're birthing something. Looky here. God begins reproducing things through us. The love of God is born in us. And then, see the two greatest commandments in all of this? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, Jesus said. See the two greatest commandments? They said, what's the two greatest commandments, Jesus? We've kept all the laws. What are the two greatest ones? He said, hear, O Israel, the greatest commandment is this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's this relationship. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's this relationship, and that's the cross. And the cross mends them both and gets them both right. And then before he went to the cross, he said a new commandment. Or before he went back to the Father, excuse me, that was after the cross. Before he went back to the Father, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So as we know him, the two greatest commandments come into play. We draw from him and intimacy takes place spiritually with him, and then the love of God is birthed in our heart, and all of a sudden this guy at work that we despise, we kind of feel sorry for him. And this woman next to us that just annoys the living daylights, not referring to anybody in particular, the woman sitting next to us just annoys the living daylights out of us. We realize that we kind of got a soft spot, and when she wronged us, we kind of hope she'll say something because we'd like to forgive her. Because the love of God begins to become birthed in us. Now you put a group of people that's happening individually, you put them all together, you have an outreach center. Because they're not content just coming together and singing and saying, oh goody, R4 no more, and we're going to have a good time. No, let's help somebody. These women in the community that are down and out or in jail and need another chance, why are they doing that? Are we trying to make a name for ourselves or hang a shingle up with our name on? Heavens, no, I don't want the responsibility. That goes, no, the love of God constrains us, Paul said. It's birthed in us. And we got to do something. Does that make sense? Heard one pastor say, now I think that some churches do outreach and some don't. Well, you don't have to do it the same. But you got to be outreaching somewhere if God's love is birthed in you. And if you just want to be your four no more and sit around and sing to each other, we go to heaven. I never knew you. Many will come in that day and say, I prophesied, I cast out devils. And he'll say, I never knew you. You got to know him. Are you with me? But when we do that, the love of God is perfected, developed, then perfected in us. In 1 John, it says, you are not yet made perfect in love. I'm not yet made perfect in love. I can tell. Oh, it's birthed in me. Sometimes I feel like it's so, it rises up in me so strong, I feel like I can't contain it. He wants to birth it in you, and then he wants to perfect it as you grow. I like the way Mark says something. Mark Hardinger, I love the way he says this. It's perfect. I've been preaching the same thing for years, but when he said it, I thought, that's a great way to say it. He said it better than I preach it. Somebody thanked him for his generosity. He and Cindy have such generous hearts, which can be said for so many of you. And that's wonderful, because that's birthed in you. You get out of your self-centeredness and your selfishness, and you get interested in others. Okay, well, that's another subject. Somebody thanked him for something he did, and he looked at him and he said, that's just God showing you that he loves you through me. That's a great way to say it. Not, well, that's okay, I can help you from time to time, and I'm the center of the universe, and, you know, I'm the center of the universe, and you can depend on me. No, that's one time I told Mark, I'm not glorifying you this morning, but this is a good example. One time I thanked Mark for something he did for me, and he said, Tom, if I hadn't done it, God would have used somebody else, because he loves you and he wanted to show you. He just happened to use me, and I feel honored that he picked me. Buddy, that's a pure gift, okay? We're not glorifying anybody here, and I think there's a lot of you that have that attitude. But I like hands-on examples. That's a pure gift when it's that way. The love of God is birthed in us, and then we begin growing, and he begins perfecting his love in us. And that's the whole heart of the gospel, the two greatest commandments. This relationship and this relationship. All right, I've made a commitment. I'm going to let you guys out 20 till. Because March and April, I kept you guys till 5 till 12 a few times. That's too much. I'm too intense to listen to me that long. What's the will of God? Oh, my goodness, that's a theological subject. We're going to have to study for years to figure that out. No. What's the will of God? This must be some deep, heavy, dark thing. Devil loves to paint that picture. He said the will is that you have eternal life. And John 17:3, what is eternal life? That we know him. I bet we can do this. We can do this. We can do this. You might as well shake your head this way. We can do this. There's nobody in here that can't get to know Pam if they want to, get to know Brian if they want to. We know we have the tools to do that. We get acquainted. We spend time with them. We hang out with God's people. When the lights are on, we're here. We read his love letter to us. We get up a little earlier in the morning and shut off the computer, and we spend time with God. And pretty soon, we know him. And then when Donald Trump walks in, I don't say, you had a peanut butter sandwich this morning and your daughter wears this and that and that. And he says, who is that guy? Get him out of here. He says, Tom, hey, how are you? We know him. And that's the trouble in the American church, is that we know all about God. If we're going to see him face to face, it's going to be if you know him. It's not going to be how much of the alphabet you got behind your name, how smart you are, a tally of your chapters that you've read to impress God. Oh, reading the Bible's a good thing. But that's not what it is. It's whether we know him. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here together today. Thank you for the power of your truth. Anything I said this morning in the flesh, I would ask in Jesus' name that you would melt it. Anything. I'm not aware of it, but if there's anything I said in the flesh, may it be melted completely, forgotten. But what's been said in the spirit, which I believe was a majority of what I said today, and maybe all, was said in the power of the spirit, I ask that we take root in our lives. It's interesting that Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7, end with, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man build his house on the rock. Want to be rock solid? Do it. It's not hearing it. It's not reading it. It's doing it. Putting it into practice. In these summer months that are busy, and there's a lot of things calling our name and a lot of things pulling us in different directions, I would ask in Jesus' name that this crowd would set aside time to know you, to know you. And the benefits of that are incredible. Birth your love within us as a ministry. May your blessing be on the afternoon, the various graduations and things, a lot going on these weekends. And be with those that aren't here today. Bless those visiting with us today. Bless the youth meeting tonight. May your anointing be on Brian and Kim and Allie and Michael and Vince and all that help with that. And we commit this week to you, and be with our church in Haiti, both churches, Martino and Jeremy. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.